Welcome to
Got Your Booze.
The rebranding name of Got Your Milk after this wonderful final episode of season one of FX's The Strain, entitled Master.
First,
I thought you forgot the name of the show.
First you said wonderful that I didn't agree, and then you said final, and I was so excited, and then you said for this season, and then I was sad again.
Catfish. All right, everybody recognizes that voice. That's our voice of
Grumpy
co-host Catfish.
Grumpy Catfish.
And we also have Mork here. Mork, how are you doing after we just watched the final episode entitled The Master?
Oh, Bubba, like a Strigoi who's been kept in the basement, I am hungry for more.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. If you are brand new to the Got Your Milk, a.k.a. Got Your Booze podcast, remember way back on June 13th, I believe it was, of the year 2014, when F and his buddy, the late great Jim, and Nora went to a plane that had been downed. And F, because he was a recovering alcoholic, he asked for milk, which Jim always had for him. He said, got your milk. And so we named our podcast after that important scene, which really set up this very final bit of the episode where F no longer wants milk. He wants stone cold hard booze. And so we've come full circle. It's the circle of Strigoi. We've really done it. And guys, let's just get to it. The way we begin every Got Your Milk podcast is we introduce ourselves.
I say,
my name is Bubba, with me as always. But then after that, we mention that we have not read the book which this great show is based on. Who wrote that book, Mork?
That would be Dr. Chuck Hogan and engineer Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, we haven't read the book, so we can't do spoilers, but we're at the end of the first season. I don't know what spoilers there could be.
Maybe that's a spoiler.
We are at the end of the first season.
Well, I wish I had read the book so I would know.
Hang on. Time out, Catfish. Yeah. I just want to assure everyone listening that we follow the rules for all of the podcasts that we
do. Exactly right.
Even the ones that we don't put up online. So just to make that clear.
That's true. But we began this back. We interrupted Catfish. Catfish is upset.
I just wanted to know if the ending of the show this season coincides with the ending of the first book, or whether they tried to string it out.
Well, dear listeners, we do this show for you, so we need you to tell us. Did the ending of this first season?
God knows.
We do it for you, so you need to do all the work.
Right. So tell us if this first season ended where the first book did. I kind of believe it did.
If that's the case, the good news is there's only two seasons left.
Hey, now. So, all right. So we have, guys, all season long, you wonderful listeners have been helping us out, helping us appreciate this great show from FX titled The Strain. And we've branded you Strigoi Team 7. That's the hero listeners who help us really enjoy this show to the full extent. And how do people become members of Strigoi Team 7, Mork?
They gotta kill a squirrel.
Right.
And then they take the squirrel.
Yes.
And they go to a KOA,
campground chain,
and throw it in a random person's tent.
Thank you. Okay, so that is step one. Believe it or not, I've always edited that out of the podcast in previous episodes.
I don't know why.
And I may edit it out of this one as well. But the second step is to go to iTunes and give the Got Your Milk podcast a review. Write a review and submit it. And sure enough, guys, here for the final episode, we have one new member of Strigoi Team 7.
Yay!
All right, so they is someone called Sarah S. Vada? How would you say that?
Sarah Svada. It's like if you are someone who shaves your own head and get any kind of like rash on the back of your neck from scraping too hard with the clippers. It's a Sarah Svada.
If this is a person's name, I'm really glad you described it like that. So Sarah gave us 5 stars on the review. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Wow.
She, and I believe it's a she wrote, "I didn't know what I was missing." 5 stars. She goes, "I never knew that I needed Strain reenactments until I heard this podcast. Now I cannot imagine my life without them. How will I cope during the long hiatus. Well,
Sarah
Spada, so
this is what you got to do.
What do you got?
Find a squirrel.
Please, no squirrel. No, not the squirrel.
Find a squirrel.
No, don't do it.
You know, I was recently actually texted a picture of a non-living squirrel. It's not pretty. Yes, I was.
Well, look what we've just watched for 13 hours. I think everyone who is listening to this podcast can deal with not pretty.
All right. So thank you so much as our new member.
Sarasvada. I'm just going to say the whole name as if she's a musician.
We've had,
and her name's just Sarasvada.
True. We've had so many great members. Obviously, founding members, Black Lannister and Jay Coyley, really had a lot of.
Should we warn Sarasvada about the hazing period?
That's part of. She's going to be hooded and put down in a place very, very dark and deep. With our boy, Gus. But we won't get to that. You know, we want to give a shout-out to Black Lannister and Jay Coyley. Black Lannister watched this final episode. She tweeted at us. She said, "What does Zack do if the team is killed? The Master had plan B. Just walk backwards and pretend you're not involved." So, what would Zack... Wait, this is going to be an extra-long podcast. We're coming to you a day late.
Really?
Because we've got to give you listeners all that you deserve, and so...
Yeah, if you watch this whole show, you deserve this podcast. You better not turn it off. You deserve this.
It's a listen now. So we will answer that question of when there's the assault on Bolivar's Theater, what would have happened if the team was killed and Zack was there all by himself? We'll get to that in a bit. But first, we also begin every episode of Got Your Milk Podcast.
There's a lot of stuff we have to get out of
the way. We never start the podcast. We just begin it.
Yeah.
We also begin it by giving our rating for the episode out of 10. And we also say our favorite scene and our spilt milk, a.k.a. our spoiled milk scene, the scene which wasn't so great. So this is the final episode, The Master. You're going to give us your rating out of 10. You're going to give us your favorite scene, and any scene, there might be none. I have a think there's a good chance that there is any scene that was spoiled or spilled milk.
Really?
But if there was, let's hear it. And
I'll
we're gonna go round robin. Let's go to Catfish. Catfish, your rating out of 10. Let's hear it.
This is my highest rating in weeks, if not months.
Okay, wow, you loved it.
I'm gonna give it a 7.
All right, okay.
7 out of 10, Catfish.
Seven out of 10.
All right, so what? So, your favorite scene in this, one of your favorite episodes?
I will say the scene where I was like, wow, I actually said out loud, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Was when the guy who clearly has never been on the streets and yet has to say bro all the time. When Gus was introduced, you know, in my head, he was like, he went to like some, to me, it seems like
yes.
He went to a private school or Juilliard or something like that and spoke very good English, and now he's having a very hard time getting into,
bruh.
When he was introduced to the old ones,
I
was like, wow, this is a cool
ones.
Thing
yeah.
to the ancient ones. I would say if you don't want to wake the ancient ones up, don't spill a lot of blood on the floor. But still, very cool.
Okay, that was your... Any spoiled / spilt milk scene
of
the episode?
The one that I disliked the most out of all the ones that I disliked... you know, one more thing I did enjoy, even though I saw it coming, was the head of the Department of Health and Human Services being tossed over the balcony.
Oh, you like that as
Maggie.
Well.
That was amusing. Was the scene with F and Zack and the mother. Did not like that scene.
With beautiful Kelly. She had a cameo.
Well, let's say for the formerly beautiful Kelly.
Actress formerly known as Beautiful Kelly.
Yes.
Sure, Natalie Brown. Okay, so great. That's a very high rating from you. Let's go to our other tough critic, Mork. Mork, you've been here since the very beginning.
Yes.
Let's hear your rating, your favorite scene, and your spoiled milk scene.
Well, you know, there was a lot of interesting stuff going on. Only to infuriate Catfish.
Uh-oh.
I am going to give it 8.5 Chloe O'Malley's out of 10.
Oh, wow. Now, for new listeners, why don't you remind them who Chloe O'Malley is?
If I have to remind anyone who Chloe O'Malley is,
it's Catfish.
They need to go jump in a lake.
Right.
Chloe O'Malley is the secret hero of the entire show.
And who is she?
Especially secret since she's been kept under wraps these last five episodes.
That's how a good secret works. She is attorney Joan Lusk's daughter.
Right.
And she's one of the first persons to see Strigoi Team 6 in action.
Yeah, she was.
And she also has her own Twitter account. So
yes, we love.
And she used to promote this podcast.
She still...
Presumably until she listened to it.
She favorited the
tweet about our last podcast. Yeah. All right, so my turn.
Do I get to say my favorite scene?
That went on. So it took you like 10 minutes to describe who Chloe O'Malley was.
He was hyping her up.
All right, so your favorite scene and spoiled milk scene. Let's hear it, Mark.
Favorite scene was Fitzwilliam giving Palmer the hand.
Oh, yes.
Because nothing actually happened.
Oh, wait a minute. He quit. That was like a big moment. In a show where the whole world is going to hell, this valet quitting for this one guy.
No severance package. No more Bennies. Yeah. No, he's SOL. Least favorite was probably... I never trusted Zach.
Oh.
And the old wheezing asthma ruse.
Horrible.
This is just a lesson to any parents out there.
Right. If your kid is wheezing, it's an act.
Don't believe him.
If he's like, take me to the hospital, he just wants a photo album.
That's all he needs.
Well, that's pretty good. So,
now, Bubba.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, everybody knows I'm the toughest critic of them all.
That is not true. You always give the highest grade to this show.
Highest? Well, listen. In honor of my boy Gus going down there and seeing the ancients,
mm-hmm.
How many ancients were there?
Three. So we're going to give it three.
So I'm going to give it 13 out of 10.
Yeah. Oh,
13 out of 10. It was a 10, Bubba. And then the three ancients showed up, and it was officially a 13.
Now,
check him for bite marks?
Should I be nervous that Bubba does my taxes?
Listen.
Is it possible to get 13 out of 10?
It's totally possible.
All right, Bubba, I trust you.
So,
Mom, when you paid $20,000 in taxes last year and your refund was $23,000, you didn't have a question then?
Right, no. So that's 13 ancients out of 10.
Let's just move on.
That's 13 ancients out of 3.
All right.
And so I really, this was exactly what I've been looking for. When you come to a series finale, you want resolution and cliffhangers. And all this was resolution and cliffhangers.
There
right?
you go.
Like, it was like, what happened to Bolivar? Oh, he's at the theater. Resolution.
Yep.
But cliffhanger,
that's all we need
he
to
walked
know.
Out backwards. Where is he?
Now, do you think, now I'm not an expert at
good,
this,
okay, yes.
But do you think that they just... they filmed that when they walked out and then played it backwards?
Yes, it was so clearly
or they
played
just
backwards,
walked backwards.
Which was so strange. They can't turn around. The master tells them to come. They don't even have a... they can't even turn around. They're compelled.
They got eyes in the back of their head.
In honor of my favorite TV show being renewed today, Twin Peaks was renewed. The next podcast is already up. They did the backwards, like the man from another place... was backwards, and so they were... it's great. So my favorite scene in the episode, mm-hmm. the one that I think really kind of, you know, I was on the edge of my seat for...
I don't believe that. I was watching you the whole time.
Edge of my seat was Nora singing on the roof.
Look, in Argentina...
people just disappear.
The only way...
people just disappear. And the only way... the only way you can be found...
the only way to stay safe from the government was by singing on the roof.
Yes.
And if you didn't have...
Where is this song going? It was so...
Chloe.
It was so...
Chloe, if you're listening to this, and if you're ever in Argentina...
it was...
please.
Sing
on a roof.
Sing to save your life.
Sing on a roof.
So it was very surprising.
Yeah,
it was that was my favorite scene.
Wow, amazing!
We're all getting a little emotional.
I'm tearing up.
We're all getting a little emotional.
So, what was your of all the amazing scenes that you enjoyed in this episode? What was the least amazing? That's the only way I can phrase it to get him to answer a question.
They were all relatively amazing. All
right, my spoiled milk scene of the week.
Tell me.
You're right. is that
yes.
The one that I like the least is the very last scene because it ended. If it had kept going, I could.
If there'd been just one more scene.
If there had been one longer voiceover.
Just one more scene.
Wait, so what was I right about?
Of you know, that was my boy. The guy I've loved ever since the beginning is
Zach.
Is Abraham. And so him doing a voiceover telling me stuff that really sets up the second
That's how we started the whole show.
So good. And so though that was my only strike against the scene.
Well, but wait a minute, guys. Sure, yeah. Guys, you know, we're talking about it. We're talking about the show. Like, it's going to be off the air. And Sarah Javats or Sarah Sfata is worried that what's she going to do now?
What is she?
But a lot of people... Hello, there's a great new sitcom coming out.
Oh, really?
It's called A to Z, and it's about Abraham hanging out with Zach.
Oh, Abraham hanging out with Zach. It's about their wacky adventures.
This does sound great. We're going to get 24.
And sort of like about one-third of the way through, they meet F.
Eventually, F shows up.
He may be sober.
He may not. Right. We don't know. But he's going to show up. So we're going to have 24 quality episodes.
That is 24, not 26.
Or 26.
Okay.
And to keep us going until the strain comes back.
All right. So listen, we've only been talking a minute or two. So I think it's time to jump in to the recap of the episode. We need to jump into this episode that everybody loved, everybody rated so high, and so...
Wait, we have it. Let me do the math real quick. 28.5 divided by 3.
That's pretty good.
I'm surprised.
9. It's a 9.5 average.
That really is good.
All right, so let's just jump right in. And it begins with everybody's favorite character, Mr. Palmer. He's walking in.
He looks good.
He looks great.
He's got some swag.
Yeah, and when he's healthy... He looks like somebody who could star in Hellraiser or a good horror.
Yeah, no, he went from being a poor man's Max von Sydow to now an old man's Nicolas Cage.
Right, yeah, he sure did. That's a great call.
He actually does have a good bit of charisma, and there's a lot of fun to this character when he's not.
He's got that it quality.
So he and Fitzwilliam arrive.
Well, he's got the go juice.
So they arrive at the Knickerbocker antique shop. And guys, question real: is this the last time we see it? Like, our heroes will never go back here, right? It's been compromised. Why would the villains go back?
It's been raided of all its good stuff.
So, Mr. Palmer's in there. He sees the books, and he's like, man, all this stuff is great stuff to know. I want it all boxed up. But there was one thing he didn't want boxed up. Mork, do you want to mention what that was?
No, I don't.
Come on. He looks at decapitated Nora's mom, and he's like, That can stay.
I don't need my head. I smoke menthol cigarettes. I don't need my head.
Mother, calm down.
Get up on the roof and sing. Get up on the roof and sing, child. I snuck you out of Argentina. I snuck you out. Diego Maradona is a hero.
Time out. Listen, I can only enjoy that scene once. It was so good.
That's true.
So he sees, now this I think might be setting something up for season 2 or even possibly season 3. He sees the heart there, and he's like, I want you to take special care of this, Fitzwilliams.
Yeah.
So don't you think that heart's going to come back into play somehow? I mean, the fact that it's still around.
I'd like to think so. Do you guys think that, I mean, Fitzwilliam seems like a pretty good guy, right?
Yeah, he's straight up, dude.
Do you think he kind of saw this coming? Do you think there was something like 20 years ago, he's working for Palmer, and Palmer's like, hey, go get me, go down to In-N-Out, get me a hamburger, but without the meat, you know?
Oh, sure.
And Fitzwilliam was like, oh, man, this is not going to end well. Do you think Fitzwilliam saw this coming?
One of these days, he's going to take over the world.
One of these days.
Fitzwilliam was like, when those other people hated you for asking for such a picky order at In-N-Out, I defended you.
That was his job. I'm just saying, maybe he saw this coming.
All right, so now, do you guys think that Mr. Palmer has a true beef here? He wanted to be turned. He was like, hey, when's my tongue worm going to start growing in? And poor man's Christoph Waltz shows up here at the Knickerbocker, And he's like, no, you didn't get the full turn. You got the white, a.k.a. fingertip
juice.
Well,
I don't know if you remember, and many of our podcast listeners probably didn't even hear because it was the end of last week's podcast.
Right, yeah.
But when we were doing the 15-minute deconstruction of the one-minute scenes from the next week,
right.
We heard a little bit of that, and my supposition was with the Masters kind of stringing him along so that he still got him in his pocket.
Yeah, but why? But
as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
I'm happy to just feel better and not have something growing out of my neck or have to put a fake nose on.
You want
to
live forever. Poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, but for now, I'm happy to not have a neck snake.
Everybody wants to live forever. Nobody wants to have a giant 6-foot neck snake coming out of their neck.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Palmer does. Don't you think? Listen. If he had this in writing, don't you think he has a case that he could go to court with?
Well,
the People's Court.
he's got a good point,
right.
in that basically there are bums on the street who has what he has.
Yeah,
whoa. He wants to be a special kind.
Well, that's true. Remember when we talked about the different kinds?
So
Eichhorn is definitely at a higher level.
If he wanted
and
that,
I thought Kelly was going to be on the Eichhorn level.
Yeah, she might.
There's still time.
Yeah, you're right.
Give the girl some time.
There's still time. Now, do you think? Well, never mind. Let's move on. So, Palmer and Eichhorst.
Yeah,
they're going to get into it. Palmer's going to remind him who's boss,
and Eichhorst's going to remind him who's boss.
Right,
the master.
Yeah.
So let's just follow the Palmer, Eichhorst, Fitzwilliam story. So the next time we see them, Palmer is putting the heart up on his shelf with his failed organs, and he's like, irony, isn't it ironic? It's like,
he's
dead organs.
Wait a minute. He's got like 11 failed organs?
Yeah, he had a lot of failed organs.
Does the human body even have 11 organs?
You got kidney, you got spleen,
you
got a heart.
Three.
You got lungs.
Four.
You got an appendix.
Five.
I'm gonna put that back in.
All right. So now
that's five organs.
The skin's an organ.
I don't see a jar. That's five organs.
There's plenty of organs inside.
But what you guys are putting off, maybe because it hurts too much emotionally to get to,
right,
is this heartbreak of this team that's been together for so long breaking up. And so all Mr. Palmer says is, hey, go get my car. I've got to talk to the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. And Fitzwilliams is totally like, no, you didn't. And
yeah,
so
he's had enough. That was the final straw.
And so this, to be honest, you could have played, you could have played a Peter Gabriel love tune to this breakup in your
like
eyes.
Like Biko? Oh.
All right. So do we want to... one thing our listeners love is reenactment. So I think we should
pudding.
And pudding. So let's give them the pudding of reenactments by having a reenactment of this great scene of where Mr. Palmer and Fitzwilliams, not plural, but Fitzwilliam, split up. So who wants to be Mr. Palmer?
Well, I'd like to be Mr. Palmer.
You'll be Mr. Palmer. And Catfish, why don't you be Fitzwilliam? So you ready? Here we go.
Right.
And we take you to Stoneheart Group headquarters.
Fitzwilliam?
Yeah, boss?
Can I have a sandwich?
Get your own damn sandwich.
Whoa,
I had enough of this.
Whoa. Wait a minute. You always get me a sandwich at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but you know what? That's over now.
I gave you $5 to get me a sandwich. The sandwich only cost $3. I always let you keep the change. What's the problem, Fitzwilliam?
But now I realize what you want is an unholy sandwich.
Of course. I want a little extra mayo. I don't want any goddamn lettuce. And I want two slices of cheese.
How many times have I told you that mayonnaise is a devil's handiwork?
You've never told me that.
Oh, well, I've always
You've never
thought
told
it,
me
and
that.
Now I'm telling
nope.
you.
I like my salad with mayonnaise. I like my corn on the cob with mayonnaise.
I'm hitting the road.
I like my beer with mayonnaise.
And I'm taking my organ with me.
Which?
Excuse me if I grab this jar. You know which organ. You were always jealous and you made me take it off. I'm taking it with me. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm going to put it in a bigger jar. You try to make it and put it in a smaller jar so it wouldn't look that big.
Oh, okay. Listen, Fitzwilliam. I'm an older man.
I'm out of here.
What I do love about... Okay, and scene. What
now,
I do
let
love...
Let me say,
yes.
This is the part where the whore calls herself a virgin.
Mm.
Didn't you think that was a nice little burn by Mr. Palmer?
Yeah, I don't know. It was there. This whole scene, there was a lot of. There were a couple lines. I think from now on, I'm going to use the, like, to win an argument, if anyone ever sort of asks a question,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just ask them the exact same question back. And then therefore, okay. I'll
so
win the argument. Words,
you're saying that when he's like, what are you going to do now that you're no longer under my protection? And then Fitzwilliam was like, well, what are you going to do now that you're no longer under my protection?
If that's all you got
to
do,
I'm a little confused. What are you talking about?
This is how you win an argument.
Oh, see, you blew it. I set you up, and you just blew it.
All right, hold on. Oh, Let's try it one more time.
Okay, so go ahead. I don't know if that actually fits.
It absolutely fits.
No.
Do it again.
What are you talking about?
No, what are you talking
about? Thank you. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
I think we could have had a better one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? If you're going to set it up, then you come up with a better one. But I set that one up, and you failed.
All right.
All right, so, you made me look bad.
Okay, fine.
Just like you right. made me. You shamed me just like Fitzwilliam got shamed.
Hey, look. Everyone involved in this podcast has gotten used to the shame catfish.
That is about true. Amen.
It's about time you did.
All right, so the
I have one question to ask you.
Yes?
So you're telling me that if I rent a car and drive to Palmdale and fill it up with gas, and then I get a bunch of air fresheners and a lot of Doritos and two Diet Cokes and some ice and one of those styrofoam coolers and one of those funny trucker hats mm-hmm. and some of those fancy Swiss dark chocolates that are supposed to be good for you.
I am so editing this bullshit. Get to the fucking point. Oh, my God.
That I will have a good weekend?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so...
Son of a...
Dear God. All right, so the next time we see Mr. Palmer, is sure enough, he is gone to meet up with one of my favorite characters, F's boss, Everett, and the head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, perhaps this is the most ridiculous scene.
This?
Yes.
How so?
Well, there's no secretary...
They're meeting at a condo.
The city is gone nuts.
She's got a condo or a hotel room? Where is she?
Yeah, I don't know. But I-Corps, do you notice how I-Corps, this is a condo. It's sunlight outside. Yeah, they're pulling down the shades, but come on. Are we saying that the UV lights of the sun are stopped by this? I'm a bit confused. Is that what's going on?
The whole thing is just outrageous. Sorry.
So she is happy that Mr. Palmer's looking better. He's like, hey, I got some new medicine. Pretty soon it's going to be all the rage. Whoa, get it. And I-Corst is totally checking out Everett.
He's
giving him like a, this guy, I could heat him up type look. You know what I mean?
Delicious. Snake.
Yummy.
I've seen that look before.
And so, sure enough, Catfish, do you want to say that you called what was going to happen when Mr. Palmer took the head of the Department of Health and Human Services out on the balcony?
I sure did, but I still enjoyed it just the same. I will have to say, though, I saw what they were trying to do afterwards with the guy, and I think the tone, they couldn't decide whether they wanted it to be funny or really funny or not. So it was a little off, it felt like.
Oh, you
making
mean,
the guy making the guy capitulate.
You mean Everett?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't go for the full humor of it, so it was a little awkward.
Right.
Well, Everett's kind of an awkward guy.
But Mr. Palmer, this white, whatever the white is, and whatever the fingertip juice is,
I think we know what
it gave him some new strength. He that's a tall balcony. He lifts her over and just tosses her down.
Oh, come on. Maggie, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Maggie is what? Maybe about 80 pounds. She's a little bird of a
Now
she's
she
no Donna Shalala, but...
Thank you. She's no Tommy Thompson.
And so, I-Corst, why didn't he just kill this guy? Why is I-Corst... I'm still a bit confused. I-Corst won't kill Mr. Palmer, even though Mr. Palmer is kind of a whiny bitch.
He still needs him. They've made it clear that it's still very important for them that this spreads out of the city. Although the people turn fast, I can't imagine it staying within the confines of the city for a whole week.
Well, that is a bit confusing because F's wife doesn't live on Manhattan, right? In her neighbor.
Oh,
Diane.
Heavens no.
So why, what's the big deal? If, like, you quarantine Manhattan, they're already outside. Sir Goy! They're already outside of the city.
Yeah, again, this is, the whole This has happened to me throughout the entire series where they make it seem like things are really crazy and then a bunch of people are still acting normal.
Right.
It seems to me by this point, you know, she's like, oh my God, you know, it's not because of the, is it because of the video?
Right.
That she's doing something, but then she seems to say, my God, these people are turning into horrible things.
Yeah, and like, she says she knows she has proof. Right.
Right.
Right. Well, do you think she had proof and it was just F's video that made her realize, oh, I have proof?
Well, speaking of proof, I
that's what
nobody,
F drinks. He drinks about 80 proof.
About 80 proof. Nobody here saw Maggie die, so maybe she'll come back next year. Just a thought. Just throwing it out there, guys.
All right, so we finished up. We finished up Mr. Palmer and Everett and Fitzwilliam's storyline. Are we going to see? This is an odd question, maybe, but will we see Fitzwilliam's in season two? Yes or no? What do you think?
I think we possibly could because he's kind of a cool character, and they did set him up as feeling very responsible.
Right. He was,
and so maybe he will try to fix what he has helped to make wrong.
All right, what do you think, Mark? We're definitely going to see Mr. Palmer in season 2.
Yeah, we'll certainly see Senor Fitzwilliam again. I think the you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You know what?
You can't.
Right. That's a good point.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube?
No.
Listen. That is a great point. What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
Well, right. So Fitzwilliam's. You're saying he's a great character. He's out of the tube, and you can't get him back. You know, you can't just pour him down the sink.
If he does come back, it'd be cool. If he just turns now, then it's kind of like, thanks for nothing. Right. But if it maybe he knows something that's useful, maybe he's been planning his revolt, he's got his guys who are loyal to him, who knows? But it's got to be more than just, I'm starting from scratch, I'm starting anew, and, you know, every day is a new day.
All right, fair enough. So let's go to another, or do you have another point?
No, I'm super excited to get into this storyline.
All right, so the next storyline we're going to cover, now that we've covered Mr. Palmer, is our boy Gus. Hey, bro, you coming at me, bro? And so we find him, and he's got a hood over, and he's been
just
tied
in general,
up to a chair.
Not any spoilers for this whole storyline,
sure.
But I question how he's been able to survive for very long. His street smarts seem to be quite low in that he attempts the same thing over and over again with poor results all the time and never seems to quite learn.
Well, he loves talking trash to these guys who have him tied up. He's
he does.
You got me tied up. You could totally kill me at any minute. Yeah, is that how you're going to roll? You're going to have some Mexican for dinner?
Well, I mean, I don't actually... Time out.
You were about to say, I don't know if he's Mexican. What were you about to drop there, Mark?
Oh, no, I don't actually think he's Mexican, number one.
All right.
And actually, there's way more Puerto Ricans in New York than Mexicans. Like, shouldn't he be Puerto
I'm
Rican?
Saying, that was the line he said. Don't get me. I don't know.
He was the one who said
you want Mexican for dinner.
Don't blame.
Yeah, no, I...
Are you trying to say that Bubba's racist? Because he said it
no,
himself.
No, everyone knows that Catfish is racist. Bubba's not racist.
Right.
Moving on. No, so... Now, I miss something? Does the second lieutenant to Black Lannister have a name?
Does the second lieutenant to Black Lannister have a name?
All right, listen to me. Okay, so how about this? Hold on.
Every time.
No, because there's nothing accusatory about
I'm
what
still
you're saying.
You
you're just
time.
Asking questions. It's completely
every
different.
So, hold on. So the leader of Strigoi Team 6 unties. He unties Gus. He unties Gus from the chair, and Gus, you know, tries to like attack the leader of Strigoi Team 6, and that does not work. He just gets beat down, and so Gus, you gotta give him. He's got spunk. He keeps fighting, but it does seem like it's kind of like, come on, Gus, what's the point? They've got you. Just suck it up and be their prisoner.
Let's move on. They don't seem to really have ill will towards him. I mean,
they have a lot of patience towards Gus.
They do.
Yeah, we're gonna first they hunted him down.
Yeah.
And what happened to Marlo? Is Marlo dead?
No, they left. They left Marlo. I forget what his name on this show is. But
right.
They left him alive.
Okay.
It still remains the question: why, how they were able to figure out that...
He was working for Stoneheart Group.
That he's the guy they want.
Oh, because obviously... Oh, dudes, come on. This is so obvious. Strigoi Team 6 also has a payroll company.
Yeah.
And they saw that Gus got a check, one check, and it was signed by Eichhorst.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Come on.
Nice.
It all falls together.
That's why I always write my checks out to cash.
That's
for anybody who comes and just does a day job for me.
Hey, tax season is almost here.
Right.
All
right,
so
I'm ready for Bubba to do my taxes again.
Our boy Gus, he's like, listen to me. You know, I don't like you vampires. And he is just sick. He's like, yeah, I hate the German. The German working for him and whatever was in that box I transferred, it cost me my mother. It cost me my best friend. You notice he doesn't mention it cost me my brother. You know, he really didn't like his brother too much, but he moans about he lost his brother.
Kind of reminds me of somebody, Bubba.
Okay, let's edit that out as well. All right, so then Gus just runs away, and he kind of goes through this dark place, and he runs until there's a little bit of light, and he steps in this kind of gross puddle. And then he reaches down, and he puts his hand
in it. Just put both your hands in it, right. You know, rinse your hands off.
And he's
off.
Like, what's going on? And suddenly the lights come on, and he is in this kind of chamber, would you say this is? What, this warehouse? Underground chamber, warehouse or something?
Once again,
this place is great.
And it has great lighting. Look how there's like spotlights on it, you know, like if they need to.
That mood lighting.
Yeah,
oh,
whoever.
It's amazing.
It seems strange to... This would be like if you had F up on the platform and below him you had a bunch of spilled vodka. It seems strange.
So it must have been very dark because when the lights come up full, he realizes about 4 feet away from him are... the ancient ones. And these dudes, they've got no junk. They've got Bolivar penis syndrome, meaning they've got no organs. They've got pointy ears, no noses. They got sharp, pointy teeth. And these guys are apparently hibernating. Is that what it is? They're sleeping and they're dreaming. So
that's
it looks like they're looking at Gus.
We're warned that we do not
want to wake them up. So listen, that is like Chekhov's sleeping Strigoi. If you say you don't want to wake these guys up,
they're going to wake up in act three.
Season one, they're going to wake up by season three for sure. So what did you think of this wonderful new world that's opening up? Did you guys like that the world is kind of expanding?
I think we could I wish we would have gotten here a couple episodes ago. This is so cool.
Again, this was my favorite. This was my only wow moment of this entire episode.
Okay, now Gus calls it like...
maybe the entire season.
Gus calls it a vampire turf war. Is that... what do you guys suspect is happening? Because that actually sounds pretty good there. They're like, there was some ancient pack that got broken. Maybe by the master broke some ancient pack, and now they're PO'd.
Well, this is sort of a common trope in these kinds of... you know, these types of shows or books or whatever, that and it kind of sets up the reason why these things exist, but we never hear of them, is because they have a pact to not show themselves to humans, to not be overt about it, etc.
There's an ancient truce that's been broken, and an act of war has been declared. Now, do you think that act of war was by F?
Well, yeah, when he stopped drinking milk.
That could be.
No, I think that I mean, it is this is really, really cool stuff, and I wish they would have gotten to it a little bit earlier. But what I'm not really clear on is what exactly are they sitting on? Are those dollies?
Those are nice chairs.
Are
those like
ladders?
Dollies.
Or I'm not.
They are kind of like dolly ladders. They got to move them in and out.
Hold on. I want to get this exactly. I'm going to quote this exactly from the show. So the big question I have is, they say we need a human soldier who can move freely in the daylight.
What about Nora's mom?
Someone who can use the power of the sun to massacre the unclean.
Now, this is going to be important later on.
Yeah, but why in the world is Gustav the warrior of the sun who can massacre the unclean? What has he proven so far? He killed the landlord. He killed his brother.
He doesn't take any guff from prison guards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or a prison guard.
Right.
The one thing about Gus that's a little odd is he seems to... you know, he's kind of dismissing this whole thing. True. About, oh, all that this is a vampire turf war, and I don't need to be involved.
Right.
And
but once
2 minutes
finds
ago,
out he's going to get paid.
Yeah, but,
oh, there's
right.
money in it.
But
2 minutes ago, he's talking about his mom. He's talking about his best
right,
friend.
Right, he's ready to do this for free, and then he's like, back off, brah. And then they mention the dinero, and now he's in.
Yeah, Gus. Gus needs. I want to see Gus do one selfless act.
Well, Gus went this whole season. He had a flyby moment with Zach, but Gus has really been on his own show. He hasn't interacted. I mean, I guess he also had a scene at the beginning with Ichorst and Mr. Palmer and them, but he has really kind of been completely off
that
on
is,
his own.
That is very true.
And he needs to man up and join the rest of the team here. And in fact,
that's also the funny thing. If they know about Gus, how come they don't know anything about F? I mean, he actually made a broadcast.
Right. Yeah, well, let's keep going.
Well, they don't
maybe
have
they
TV.
Don't get cable down
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
so,
good point.
But our girl Chloe O'Malley, who plays Audrey Luss, the high-priced attorney Strigoi's daughter.
Favorite child, by the
and
way.
She, her brother, and the housekeeper, right? Weren't they picked up by Strigoi Team 6?
Yeah, where are they?
Where? Why mm-hmm. aren't they? Mm-hmm. Are they not heroes who can battle in the light?
Maybe we'll see them in season 2.
Yes, we better. So, all right, let's. Any predictions for season 2 about our boy Gus and Strigoi Team 6? What do you guys think? At a certain point, he's got to meet up with the real heroes, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I the one thing I can say with great confidence and certainty is Gus will be wearing a black hoodie with a red lining.
Okay.
Why are you coming at me, bro?
Why are you coming at me, bro?
Bruh.
No, bro. Come on, bro. Okay, so that's we got Gus.
All right, so we've done that. So now we got to get to our
heroes.
We got
Fitzwilliam.
We got to get to our heroes who...
And I use that term loosely.
Now, we begin the episode of our heroes with a flashback to Zach, and it was the bike that he got on the previous flashback to his birthday, or maybe that was a video he was watching. So he's having a dream, actually. It's not truly a flashback. He's having a dream about the time his mom let him ride the bike in the street.
You know, I just want to take this opportunity to mention that filming at the Brady Bunch...
Yeah.
Greg Brady and Florence Henderson.
Right.
So I'm just saying, guys.
Yes.
Wow. I will say
Boy,
this.
We go
though,
down these.
If that. If that. If that was.
We go down these holes like they're like speakeasy tunnels that lead nowhere.
If that.
Was, there's no way to get alcohol in or out of them.
If you think that's a dark tunnel, there was something I felt about this that was ominous. Somehow this was set up. It was ominous. Sometimes. There was a sense of danger to it,
right?
When really there shouldn't be, and I felt like there was more of a sense of danger to that than there are to some scenes that are supposed to be dangerous. So I actually thought and was hoping that he would actually get hit, and then it would turn out that he's not really in the rest of the show.
Hey, now,
whoa.
So Zach wakes up and he's at the sexy female hacker's place, right? That's where this is, correct? I'm a bit confused.
That's not. I don't... That's not Sexy Hacker's place. Her place was kind of a dump.
No, I think this is it just with the lights on. I honestly do, because later, you know, she's like, I'm not getting any signals, because she's looking at all her computer equipment. So, downstairs from where Zach was sleeping, his father, our hero F, plus Satrakian and Fett, they are having a meeting of the minds. And notice who's not there? Any women. So, sexist the straight. So they're like, okay... The tunnels we were in the previous episode, where it was good, they are right here, and so we've got to do something, and that's where the Master's going. And there's a real fun moment of where F notices to Abraham, he's like, did you just agree with me? F can't believe anything, so he's like,
then,
wait, did you agree with me? Wait,
then,
what's
did you
going
agree
on?
With me?
And then Fett's got a funny bit, too.
Right. He says, you guys are in love. And then when they argue about what should be told to Zach about his mom, mm-hmm. Fett jokes, the honeymoon's over. Ha, ha, ha. Get it with the no honeymoon. In Soviet Ukraine, honeymoon gets you. So.
All right. Edit that out.
No, please don't.
All right. So F doesn't want to tell Zach about his mom. And Abraham totally disagrees. What do you think? Who's in the right here? silence. Good. Well, okay,
I don't even know where to start.
Even though I'm against most everything F has to say, in this situation, I understand where he's coming from. In many situations, his irrationality, despite the fact that he's supposed to be rational,
but why?
Really upsets me. In this case, he does not want to tell his son that his mother's now a vampire. I totally get
that. But his mother is a vampire.
I understand that, but he doesn't have good parenting skills, which is why he was always going off on vacation. So he does not want to break the news.
Well, F could employ a little bit of what I like to call plausible deniability here, and he doesn't.
Look, I believe it's a mistake. In fact, I believe we were going to see her. Before we actually saw her, and that the fact that Zach didn't know was going to make situations worse. Neither of those things actually came true.
Right. It was a shocking finale, like you've said. You were shocked.
Yeah,
it
was
in a good way.
Shocked.
So we follow Fett and F as they go on a recon mission. They go into reconnaissance.
It's not really a yeah.
So they're going to find out what is above the. The place where the tunnel where the master was, and they find out it's the theater that Goth Bastard owns, aka our boy Bolivar.
Right.
And so what is great here is that this is some great history
and I know we do a lot of reenactments here, right. But I believe this is going to be the very first Got Your Milk Rick Steves introduction to Vampire Lair.
Right. So, Rick Steves is a famous travel person, and so he normally does Europe, but he's been branching out recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, just so you know, we bring you to Rick Steves' tour of Lower Manhattan, and we take you there now. So, the theater district in Tribeca is a wonderful place for any of your time going off. The Vestry is the most famous theater of all. It goes all the way back to vaudeville. And since then, it's
been... Hi, I'm Huell Hauser.
Huell Hauser, what are you doing
I
here?
I ended up in New York City. My God. Are you filming some sort of travelogue? Or you're telling people how to go places and what to do?
Listen to me. The Vestry Theater is a three-triangle event in my book.
You're talking into?
Listen
to me. Is that kind of some sort of electric stick, and it transmits sound into the camera machine that's pointed at you?
Huell Hauser, let me tell you something.
Rick, you are a hero of mine.
The Vestry
Theater. I only had the courage to leave my wife after watching your show.
Let me tell you something. This theater, you interrupt as much as Nora's mom interrupts. Huell Hauser. And so the Vestry Theater goes all the way back to vaudeville. Can you believe it? Before that, it was Yiddish, which is a place, a Yiddish stage, a speakeasy, a burlesque house. And all of that comes alive when you look at this old crappy brick building. Now
it's home to a very cozy vampire lair. I recommend you see it only during the day.
Now, what is this? It looks like one of the juggalos has come out from around a corner and is doing some kind of a dance. And I believe that his neck is opening. Oh, my God!
Now, right next to it, you'll find a great restaurant called The Feast. It's a new farm-to-table restaurant that's spreading all over the city. And from here, this is what is also from lair to table.
I'm zombie vampire Huell Hauser. And
oh,
I'm
no.
coming to do
oh,
television
no.
and suck your blood.
And see, for all our listeners who know who in the hell Rick Steves and Huell Hauser is, you really enjoyed that. For all of the rest of you, we'll continue on with the podcast. And so, Vasily Fett, he knows everything. Because he knows the history and is willing to tell us the history, us and F, he knows that there's a tunnel from the basement kitchen area to the theater, and he goes down there, and they trace the tunnel, and they get into the theater. They see the box, the coffin, in the theater.
My question is...
You have another question?
Yeah. How long has that string been there? Don't the present people know if they pull on that string? I mean, when you go in and you set up a new restaurant, you don't go, okay,
and it's how they haze the new guy.
Listen to me. When you go and set up a new restaurant, you just leave the string there. What do you want? What am I made of money?
There could be code violations. You lose your liquor license. Come on.
So they see the boxes there. And so why? The master must love the woodcarver. He never turns them. And he loves this box because it's been destroyed, but he's still like, hey, let's redo it. And next to the box, who's nesting? Yes, it's Sturgoy. And so this was kind of a good moment. You think, ooh, is the battle going to happen now? But they actually had to fit in some more commercials. So Fett and F leave. Any thoughts about the reconnaissance mission, guys?
Well, it was a lot of history. It was as exciting to me as it was to our listeners to hear Rick Steves and Huell Howser talk about it.
All right, so next we cut to my favorite scene. In the distance of Manhattan, you see nothing but smoke going up, the whole city's in turmoil, and you see a pack of menthol cigarettes, and who's out there?
But the president still needs a recommendation from the head of Health and Human Services to close down the city.
So who is smoking?
The fires and rioting is not causing
any concern.
We don't
want to upset the public, okay? Right. We need to feel good.
So who is smoking those menthols but Nora's mom's daughter,
Nora.
And so
she's a smoking and a singing.
She's singing. Now, you guys must have been as moved by this as much as I was.
Because
tell you, anytime anybody mentions to her anything, she talks about how people in her country just disappear. Are we supposed to take that the Strigoi have been hiding in Argentina?
I'm starting to think that the strain is not a big hit in Argentina.
Come on.
No,
it's a big hit around the world.
The one thing that I noticed was they're on this rooftop, and they're probably, I don't know, at least 15 stories up.
Yeah.
And Nora, I mean, she's very upset.
She's
and
PO'd.
You know, she's smoking, and she's angry. Her hair is flying everywhere.
Now,
F's hair,
she's like,
F's hair is not
fight.
Moving
now,
at all.
Now, here's kind of a little bit of a logical problem here.
Sure.
He says, I'm not going
right.
because I need to protect my son. She said, your son's not safe with you. He's not safe.
Right.
You have to be with him all the time. So why didn't he just say, yes, I told you, I'm going to be with him here while you guys do
business. No, that makes no sense. You're telling me you're safer hiding in an apartment the master doesn't know about with your son than bringing your son to the master. Which is safer? In one situation, you know where the master is because you're going to him.
Good
but
point.
In the apartment, he could be anywhere. So I think that's the absolute right move.
I just wish
the time.
I just wish
in said, New York City, if you're from Argentina, what happens a lot of the time
is
you climb up on the roof and you cry and you sing and you smoke.
Oh boy, I just used my silver knife on Huell Howser.
Don't cry for me, Arjun Sturgoy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
All right, so the next thing we see is Zach is being presented his own silver sword.
Yes, we've gone
by
from
his father and his would-be grandfather,
right.
Abraham. So what do you think about this heartwarming moment right here,
Yeah,
guys?
We've gone from 0 to 10. No, he doesn't do anything to, here you go, son, here's a sword, try not to cut your own head off with it.
Yeah.
And they teach him where to strike
True.
With the sword. They say, you know, and F, he's doing a lot of, this is Corey Stahl's best moment, where he has to act the emotional difficulty of teaching his son how to kill a monster.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, a lot of people, you don't have that talk with your son about how to kill a monster till he hits puberty. But F is like, I'm going to do it now.
Right, this was the birds and the vampires talk.
Right, yeah, and Abraham's like, stick it in, pull it out, stick it in, pull it out. I mean, let me just say,
nothing
there's
sex
a reason.
Here.
He was saying
there's
that.
A reason why this was rated TVMA. So, did this make you think that Zach was going to kill a Sturgoi? What did you think?
No, it did not.
Catfish, did you have any thoughts that maybe he'd kill his mom or use this wonderful sword that he doesn't seem to use in the episode?
No, I did not think he would use it at all, and it was proven to be true.
Okay, so now, this is...
I was hoping he would trip and accidentally impale himself on it.
No. Hey, come on.
This is, let's be honest, this is, we have been tough on Zach's acting? Does anybody want to take anything back they've said in the past? And so continuing on, they go back down there.
It's tough. It's tough to keep up with Chloe O'Malley.
And so we see, if we remember from the reconnaissance mission, Fett popped one of the manhole covers off so that the sunlight would get down there, because he didn't want any more Sturgoy using this tunnel to get into the theater. And, it's worked. It's worked.
Has worked, even though it shouldn't, for a reason we'll see very shortly.
All right, and so, well, it shouldn't, because Abraham's like, they'll just sacrifice themselves until somebody gets through.
Which makes sense.
Right. And so then, I don't know if you've ever had your home fumigated, if you've ever had your home kind of sprayed.
I did have one once, but then it was knocked down.
Oh, well, you had your house dynamited because of exterminator
vermin, game. So they threw some dynamite below the house, and the vermin was gone.
Dynamite is a common exterminating tool, especially on this show.
Now, what happens is when they come back in, they pass by that area, and they're able to go into the theater through another area, dark.
Only because of the dynamite.
Oh, it's only because
the dynamite opened up a completely separate separate path.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and believe you on that.
Fool them again, Bubba.
You're right. So very good. So then it gets to the big action set piece. We've had the moment at the convenience store. We've had the plane. We've had so much. But this is, hey, it is time to kick some serious Sturgoy tail. And so we have balls-to-the-wall action right here. What did you guys think of the assault on Bolivar's theater?
I thought it was a lot of fun. Sturgoy did not seem to be, you know,
I don't think any shot their tongue.
Yeah,
in this
only
no, somebody did. Bolivar shot his tongue.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, but now, Bolivar also put his wig back on, which I don't understand.
You know, so you're bald. So what did you think?
What are you trying to say, Bubba?
I still don't understand. Every time people who have seen enough of these vampires, that when there's somebody they know who's a vampire, that they hesitate. Right. By this point, you don't. What do you think they're going to go? Oh no, it's you. Oh, you're fine.
Well, maybe
But Dutch saw somebody who ran an art gallery. That's completely different.
Oh, true. That person probably did not love her.
My guess is my guess is a lot of these characters saw Zombieland, and they didn't want to do to these people what happened to Bill Murray.
This is a very this scene is shot in a very kung fu movie like way, in that you see them shooting some, and there are vampires like 10 feet away who are just waiting their turn to attack.
Right. But they also, there are a lot of headshots. That's because everybody who's ever fired a gun knows it's very easy to shoot a head on zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, moving Sturgoy. And so somebody, a woman who looks an awful lot like, a lot like in Darkness, looks a lot like Kelly, attacks Zach and F. And F, right at the last minute, if she had shot her tongue, Zach would have been Sturgoyed. But she didn't, and F blows her head away. And so they get to keep moving on. Guess who shows up? It's not just Bolivar shows up, but also poor man's Christoph Waltz, Ike Horst.
And he's like, hey, you started the party without me.
In
Let's
the club,
do this.
I'm in the club. I thought that was a great move. And so he, you know what, we keep talking about how silver hurts them. This, you know, he got shot in the subway. He takes at least two bullets here, and Ike Horst just keeps going.
And
he's a battler.
And you say that it's really easy to hit a vampire in the head with a bullet. And despite the fact that they did it 60 times in a row, they shot Ike Horst at least 3 times and missed his head every time.
Right, but you know, they get him with a nail gun later in the head. And so Silver burns him, but it doesn't seem to really kill him. Dutch gets off a half a head. Bolivar attacks our girl Nora's mom's daughter, Nora. Mm-hmm. And so Nora slices Bolivar's tongue. So he was the only one to use a tongue. So I'm going to give Bolivar an A for effort.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he gets that, yeah. And effort and also home decor. That's a cool house.
Right, this is, wouldn't you love to live in this place?
It'd be fun.
And so our boy Abraham, who's been hearing the master talk to him, goes up to the penthouse of this theater, goes up to the top where Bolivar hangs out. He sees some bongs, he sees a drum kit, and
sure signs of the master.
You know, I thought maybe his heart medication would come up here. But nope, somebody just sneaks in behind him. He sneaks in behind him, but he still makes his kind of rustling sound.
Well, right, but also it's that same Batman villain move. I'm talking about the old TV show, because we know how fast the Master is. If the Master wanted to just come up and kill him, he could have done it. But he sneaks up behind him and is like,
Now, what did you think? What did you think, Master? Let's interview the Master real quick. So, Master, why haven't you've had multiple chances in the concentration camp? You've had multiple chances to kill our boy Abraham, Master. Why haven't you done it?
Well, you know that there are people in your life that you've just known for a long time, and
right.
Even if you dislike them, they're just something they've been around, and he is also this. You know, I've been for about 50 years.
Right.
I've been on a diet.
Oh,
yeah, no juice.
You don't eat. By the way, in the concentration camp, you ate a lot of juice.
Yes, no juice, and I've been saving myself for him, and so I just really want to. Enjoy it.
Now, what's interesting is, Master, you call Abraham Woodcarver, but I, of course, calls him 187, by numbers. Yeah. Why do you call him Woodcarver? What's your thought process there, Master?
I don't want it to seem too complicated, but,
yeah?
He carves wood.
Very good. Master, have you got, on some medication you have extra saliva. I really think you're having a hard time talking there, Master.
It depends if I've
all right, so now,
drunk lately.
Now, F and Zach come to Abraham's rescue, and they start breaking windows. And guess who doesn't like that? The Master.
Seems like it.
Well, they are beautiful stained glass windows.
So the Master, even though there's sun out, he's about to open his tongue worm and eat up our boy Abraham when F charges him with his sword. Downstairs, Ikors gets silver nailed to the face, and yet he still is able to shake it off. And so, with the sun hurting the Master, Abraham slices a bit of his shoulder, but then the master knocks the sword out of Abraham's hand.
F finally gets with the program.
F charges the Master, and the Master's like, I'm afraid, and he dives out a window. And so did you guys think this was it? The Master's dead?
No, because I knew, sadly, that this was not the end of the show.
And so the Master, once he's outside, the freaks stay in at night, he calls his underlings, and they start walking backwards to him. He's like, come to me, come to me, come to me. They don't go out the window. They go somewhere else, though.
Well, we don't know where they go. We don't see them. All we know is they're actually just rewinding the film.
Now, why, if you're trying to kill all these Sturgoy, do you just watch them walk backwards away? Why not just chase them down and kill them? Because they look like they
The only reason they're here for these Sturgoy is to keep them away from F and Satrakian so they can get the
good
Master.
Good point. So now the Master is laying out in the sun. His body is smoking body.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready
for
spring
break. Well, he's got to be awful hot. I mean, those rags.
Yeah, I know. The robe is thick. And so Satrakian could just stab him at any time. But you know
he
decides?
He's got to say something
first. He's got to talk. But because of that, he allows the Master to stand up. The Master is totally getting fried.
His shmata is getting just totally burnt.
Right. He needs SPF 500 to protect that Master skin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crawling down the building. As he's crawling down the building, you can like see his exoskeleton because he's been fried so much. And he pulls his hood down and he jumps and he gets away.
But we don't know if the exoskeleton is because of the sun or whether he just looks that way. We have not seen him sunbathing before.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, drop, go, you know.
Stop, drop,
go
and roll.
Commando.
I don't know what. Okay,
go commando.
I don't know where you were going with that.
All right, so what did you guys think of this? They're like, hey, we got the Master outside. And even Fett's like, wait a minute. The sun didn't kill him? What the blank is going on here?
And Satrakian's like, oh, we are effed. left.
Yeah, this seems... I was confused by this because...
Confused.
First off, you would think that the master is going to be the meanest and the toughest and the strongest out of all the Strigoi.
Oh, got it.
And you see that his flesh is kind of evaporating and he's in pain.
Right. I agree. It's this. You would think that a prolonged exposure to sun, that he can last longer, but... A prolonged exposure to sun is going to take care of business.
It clearly hurt the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so what are they complaining
about? So you think they drew the wrong conclusion?
I think they're giving up. I think they're a bunch of quitters.
No, I think
Certainly Abraham should have stabbed him while he was writhing in the sun in pain. I mean,
he should have stabbed the master or at least F.
Yeah, right. Kill one of them. One of them should die in the sunlight. That's a good point. So our heroes, they feel like we are screwed. And so they are in the Brett Wilson bread truck. They're like, well, we'll go back to Fett's and regroup. When guess who gets a little wheezy? And I don't mean the wife on the Jeffersons.
Ooh.
But who is wheezy?
Oh, it's our favorite boy, Zach.
Favorite boy, Zach. He is heezing and wheezing. And is this the first time we knew he had asthma?
No.
They've been...
They had a problem before where they had to go... They were in some sort of danger. He had to go into the store and get some inhalers.
Yeah, and also, I think you guys forgot the very special episode where Zach smoked one of Nora's mom's menthols.
Oh, that was... No wonder he's breathing so hard.
Well, that was after he and Nora's mom laid together.
Yep.
As man and wife.
Yeah.
All right, so... So F pulls up to his ex-wife's house, and he's like, I'll be out, give me a couple minutes, and
again,
Fett's like, make it warm.
Again, another thing where, to make it interesting and scary,
yeah.
People do something that make no sense.
What do you mean?
In that it's only Zach and F that go in, everybody else stays out in
the Well, don't
the
you think they could have gone to any drugstore and just stolen an inhaler?
Well, that's true, but... I think you only found a couple last time. By this time, despite the fact that there isn't martial law,
right.
In most cases, it looks like the stores have been fished out already.
Now, were you heartwarming? Was your heart warmed?
Mm-hmm.
Was your heart put on heat?
My cockles.
When you saw that Zach really was breathing fine, he had just made everybody take this ridiculously dangerous trip across town so he could get a photo out.
Gee, I don't know. When you put it that way...
When you put it that way, yeah. I think I see Adrian Peterson's side of the story.
Because you want to beat him with a switch?
Wow.
Is that what you're saying, Mort?
He endangered the lives of all of these people.
Yeah, oh, come on. One time.
Okay.
How many times is his father? He's, you know, the boy is just like his father. Yeah. And so, but it warms F's heart to see that his ex-wife hasn't thrown out all these photos of him being a good father. And she wanted to keep all these. So, isn't that sweet?
It's sweet or pathetic.
All right. So now
If I had a catch,
right,
like Matt from Sears,
right,
I would have burned that photo album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, Matt, are you saying Matt from Sears should have burned it?
No, if I was
Kelly,
I wanted to make it work.
You had a great guy like Matt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't going to do any better than Matt from Sears.
You know how many free pairs of Wranglers you can get when you work at Sears?
I don't know how many. So who passes by the window? Now, come on. Number one, why isn't Kelly in the house where all the other Strigoi? Like,
hi, this is Huell Hauser in Brooklyn. I just found this house that's wide open.
Refrigerator doors just wide open.
All right, so they come to the door, and who wants to sneak in the back door but Kelly?
Oh, it's usually F.
Yes, it is. And so, Kelly, you guys, all the whole show, I've been talking about how beautiful Kelly is. And she,
finally, we believe
and
you.
And finally, she looks like the kind who would go out with me. She's totally lowered her standards and her hygiene. And Zach, what did you guys think of Zach wanting to run to his Strigoi mom?
I was praying that he would, but it's just another move that makes me pray that he would go to his mom. I mean, what is he thinking?
Well, what? Now, hold on. Kelly.
She's smoking. It's not even, you know, he's still yelling, Mom, Mom.
I think there's a chance that Kelly's one of the good Strigoi. She really didn't attack. F was the one who made the first move to shoot the door. You know, she's just outside. She's almost kind of making a longing face, like she longs for her son and her son's blood. You know, she is just being super sweet. And F, with his hatred, because she was getting busy with Matt from Sears. Let's watch this. Once again,
I'm going to change my mind outside. About the she's worst just... scene. This was the worst scene.
No, come on.
Because it sets up as if something's going to happen and nothing happens.
She looks like catfish in line at the Chick-fil-A. This is not love.
No, whoa. So you mean it's lust.
She loves Zach.
Yeah.
And Zach, what? Zach is so great. He's like, I'm going to run to her. That is the right move. Run to your mother, kids. And then F shoots her. And look, she was doing nothing. She reached for the handle. Was that she was reaching for the handle of the door? And then she is smoking, and she's a bit upset.
What's smart is she...
But she just leaps. She doesn't attack.
Yeah, that's...
She just leaps.
That's why I hated this scene.
She loves her son. And I love her. And she, of course, nobody sees her. All the group from the Wilson's bread truck comes in. And they don't see her sneaking around the side to go out the front door.
Well, it is nice to know that she is no longer out of your league. Bubba.
All right, so the Fett is wondering, why didn't the others come? And Abraham's like, well, they'll keep coming. She won't stop until she gets what she wants.
Now, you tried to give Mork and I a spoiler when we came in, saying there was a shocking death in this show.
There is a shocking death
in and this show. It is the death of F's sobriety.
Hey, now. I thought this was a great moment to end on. It should have cut to black once he took that drink. Don't you think so? Because
he would have blacked out.
Right, because many of us, at the end of this episode, we should have taken a shot in solidarity with F. Maybe at the beginning of the episode, we also should have taken a couple.
I think you're absolutely right. Although it is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to... you know, remember like in Unforgiven when Clint Eastwood finally has shot of booze and he's like, ah, ba-boom. It's same deal here. F takes the shot and he's like, let him try.
Mm. Oh, that's so, why it's such a powerful scene.
Maybe that's what we need to save the world.
In Lone Wolf McQuade.
Or Chuck
they killed
Norris.
They killed his girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
But when they killed his dog, it was on.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, good thing F doesn't have a dog.
All right, so it ends. We're all in the Wilson's bread truck, all our heroes except Matt from Sears.
People are still driving on the street like nothing's wrong.
So they're on the street, they're driving, and they're just kind of wondering what in the world. So Satrakian says it's been a week. The world's changed a lot in a week. And so what do you guys think? Let's get to final thoughts about this episode and final thoughts about the great season one. Let's go to you first, Mork. What are your final thoughts about this episode and the great first season of The Strain?
Well, I thought we got to some of the things that I would have liked to have seen a little earlier.
Right.
But it did make me somewhat optimistic for season two.
Extremely optimistic for season two.
We got Strigoi Team 6 in full effect.
Yep.
We got F.
He's off the wagon.
He's off the wagon. And honestly, if the world is falling apart around you and your wife is a vampire and you've been fired and, and all that, you can have a drink.
I think it's
fair.
I don't know, but he may not be able to get any more carpet sex.
Oh, please. That's never stopped.
Nora's mom's daughter will not.
In Argentina.
Right.
That's not a problem.
Right. So, okay, Catfish, you loved this first season of The Strain. What are your thoughts on this final episode and the first season as a whole?
Well, Mork.
Yeah.
I thought that they did some nice things to set things up for season two.
Okay, good.
I felt like...
Positive.
I felt like in every episode...
Right.
They set some cool things up to happen in the future.
Good.
None of which have happened yet.
Not yet.
Anticipation.
There was a lot of interesting... That let's just say the potential of this show far outweighs the actual reality of the show.
So the show is not fat. It's a skinny, tight machine.
It's a super tight machine where people do a lot of totally logical, rational things.
Thank you.
And the world seems to be well thought out as far as the effect of this kind of event would have on the world.
Right. Well, for my final thoughts, this last episode, go out on a high note. Like I said, cliffhangers and resolutions. So look at all the resolutions we had. I was like, what's going to happen with the director of Health and Human Services?
Right.
Now I know. Or maybe that's a cliffhanger because she went over a cliff.
We didn't actually see her die.
No. And I was like, when am I, like I said, it was a shocking ending because I never thought we'd see Everett again, but he came back. And so great shocks. And so I really think that this show has nowhere to go but up. Because when you reach a 13 on a scale of out of 10, you are just ready to go. I think this is exactly what we all wanted from The Strain. It's so, I can't wait. I think we should all have a moment to thank our wonderful listeners. You guys, we have done these podcasts for you because we have not enjoyed doing them for ourselves. And so we've done them for you. Any special thing you want to say to our wonderful listeners, guys, before we bid adieu?
I would just like to thank them for listening and to tell them truly, truly I do it for you. Because as you know, if it weren't for you, I'd be watching something better than this.
Hey now.
Hey.
Anything, Mark, what is your thoughts?
Oh, I say thanks for keeping us strong.
Amen.
You know, Strigoi Team 7 is going to get even stronger before next season.
Amen.
Maybe they will even be written into the show.
True.
Just floating it out there. Could happen.
I would love if Jay Coyley, Black Lannister, and the whole gang get into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I just want to say thank you guys so much for joining us on season one of The Strain. Keep tweeting at us. Keep communicating with us. We may be able to do some, maybe a book spoiler in the future, in the off season. Till that point, I want you guys to write us on Twitter. Catfish, how can people hit you on Twitter?
At CJGman67.
And Mork, how can people hit you on Twitter?
What's Twitter?
And if you want to reach me, my name's Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. If you're a fan of the HBO program Game of Thrones, be sure to listen to and download our podcast about that great show called The Joffrey of Podcasts. Go to iTunes, check it out. It features all of us. Mork is a special guest and will probably be on more as we continue. Maybe Nora's mom will show up on the Joffrey of Podcast.
Amazing.
And so anyway, thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening. And you'll hear us next time on
Got Your Milk! Or booze.